Hi, welcome to the Vaguely Anime Podcast. I am with the host this afternoon, Michael, followed by other host, Sage.
Hi.
And for a little bit, we're gonna, I guess, continue talking about slashers. I don't remember us talking about slashers, but apparently Sage said the last time we were on an episode, because
last time I was on, you were going through Friday the 13th.
Oh, okay. Well, I've done two franchises since
then. No, I know, but then we were having the whole debate about the big three and this, that, the other thing,
right,
blah,
yeah,
blah,
yeah,
blah,
okay,
blah.
All right. Well, now I have watched almost all of them.
Right.
I have three Nightmare movies left.
Okay.
Oh,
you have to sit through the horrible remake?
I have to sit through the remake. Freddy's Dead. What the fuck is it called?
Freddy's Dead and New Nightmare?
Yeah. Because I've already watched Freddy vs. Jason during the Friday one, and I'm not going to watch it twice in a month.
Yeah, no.
Like, that movie's fine. I don't want to watch it twice.
No, of course. That movie's just fun, goofy times.
Yeah, like, that movie's there for if you want some good kills, and the fights between Freddy and Jason are pretty fun.
Yeah.
But, like, past that, it's whatever.
Yeah, past that, you're just like, okay.
Yeah, so I don't want to watch it again, so I'm not.
Yeah, valid.
Yeah, so I've watched all of Halloween, and then, like, I think I'm, like, technically, like, 66% through.
I don't think I've watched Halloween Kills or Ends.
So, I still don't know if I would recommend them. So, I was telling Sage before we started that I don't know if watching those movies, because I hadn't watched them since they came out of theaters.
Mm.
So, I don't know if, like, I just have a better opinion of them, like, period.
Right.
Just because, I don't know, I've more times passed and I've just, my opinion's changed since it. Or that I've watched and had to trudge through some absolute fucking sewer water to get to them again that I went, you know what, these could be worse.
Right.
So I am not certain. I still don't know if I would recommend them to somebody, but there are worse movies in the franchise that if someone was like, hey, I really like Halloween 2018, should I watch the sequels? If you're gonna do it, go for it. Like, I wouldn't be like, yeah, skip it. They're fucking terrible.
Right.
They're just at best or worst, like, whatever. Maybe at worst, whatever. I don't know. Like, I could see what they're trying to do with them. It's just not as good as what the first one did.
Right.
Yeah, and, like, some of the stories and side characters are, like, whatever. Like, you just don't really give a shit. But I still think... So, hold on. I can pull up my lists for you to look at.
Yes, let me see. Let me look.
Because I don't know if you want to look at the Friday ones either. But we'll just start with the Halloween ones. So, this is the my definitive Halloween list.
Okay, definitive Halloween list. So, we've got the OG, number one. Makes sense. Halloween, 2018 reboot. Halloween, Rob Zombie reboot.
The through line here is if your movie's called Halloween, you're probably good.
I know. It's like all the starting ones.
Yeah.
Halloween 2, but OG Halloween 2.
Yeah. Which I hear apparently is a hot take, but I think I don't. It is a bad addition that they made Laurie Michaels' sister. But besides that, I think the movie is like fun enough. Like there's some fun kills, and the fact that it all takes place in the hospital. Like I don't know, it's fine.
I think I just like I've never had any negative opinions. I don't even care that they make Lori his sister.
I just think it's unnecessary.
I agree, but I like how it follows with H2O. But I also,
well, all of them.
I apparently am the only one who likes H2O. So
H2O is so whatever.
I love H2O.
But like, yeah, the I don't know, because all of the sequels follow, except for I think H2O drops her being his sister again, right? Like, it doesn't have that be a thing?
No, H2O does.
Okay,
but then, I think in the Halloween 2018 reboot, they drop it.
Yeah, because every movie after 2 continues the people related to Lori are related to Michael thing. So.
Then you have Halloween Kills. Then H2O. Halloween Ends. Halloween 4, Halloween 2, Rob Zombie Edition, Halloween Resurrection, Halloween 5, Halloween, which I think this is Halloween 6, Curse of Michael Myers.
Yeah, that's 6.
And then Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
Fuck, Halloween 3.
Which, I don't know. I kind of, like, I feel like Resurrection is probably truly the worst of the bunch. At least for me. You know what it is?
It is the worst one with Michael Myers.
A part of what annoys me about Resurrection is the stylistic choice to have it, like, parts of the movie be, like, through the lens of the cameras they're wearing.
Yeah.
Because it looks fucking horrible.
Sure does.
Like, sure it's does. The lowest quality, grainiest, most horrible footage. And if they did that, like, 2 times, I think I would have, like, been able to brush it off. But they just keep going.
Yeah, but it has the kid from Smart House.
I don't care.
he saves that girl's life.
It's just... Such also, a terrible I love movie. How she has, like, a Palm Pilot.
Yep.
And the texts come up as if, like, as it's being written out. I'm like, that's not how that works.
Of course it is, Sage.
Like, what's going on here? It wasn't even a cell phone.
Nope.
It was a whole ass Palm Pilot. Yep. Like, what is going on?
Sage, don't you remember that's how that worked?
I'm pretty sure it didn't. Like,
nothing really works like that.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
I don't, I actually.
Texting
I,
today does not
I was
work
gonna
like
say,
that.
I actually can't think of anything except for, like, the pictograph things that might show you what you're writing as you do it.
Unless you're sharing a Google Docs.
Yeah.
At the same time, you're not seeing what somebody's writing as they're writing it.
Yep.
Like, even today's, like, through messaging, you just see the 3 dots.
Yeah.
Like, you can see that they're typing, but you can't be like, oh, here's the words coming out as they're doing it.
Exactly.
Oy. Yeah, I mean, for me, Resurrection is definitely the worst, but I won't argue that 5, 6, and 3 are pretty bad as well. I don't know that, again, I don't know that I would put Rob Zombie's Halloween.
No, Rob Zombie's Halloween is great because it is the most intimidating and scary Michael Myers has ever been.
But like I said, I think maybe I am one just a hater because I haven't seen this or Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 in a while. And when I did watch them, I did not like them.
So,
but I also don't love Rob Zombie movies. And well, yeah. his
I don't think anybody loves Rob Zombie.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I
don't like the choices he makes. So they like watching it is like unfulfilling for me.
I think it's a weird testament to his Halloween 1 that I never want more of a origin story for Michael past he just walks up and murders his sister and you
right.
get to see some titties while he stabs her and then he
right.
just decides to stare at the knife while he does it like
yeah.
a normal human being.
Of course.
I think that it is a testament that I don't want that, yet I'm still walking away from it being like, this was a nice addition. Like, because I think it's separate, so it's not actually in canon.
I mean, I understand the not canon aspect of it.
Because, like, also, those kills are pretty good.
I don't know. Like, at least my current opinions on it, because I haven't watched it in a while, going off my memory, I didn't enjoy it.
Like, Rob Zombie is a very specific taste, to be
like,
fair.
Like, it's not even that I thought it was particularly bad, but it was just, like, not noteworthy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, personally, it wasn't for me.
I don't know. I think that there is something there, and again, I do think it's also the most intimidating Michael's ever been, which I think does a lot.
That's valid.
Let's see. Oh, I remember why I put Resurrection higher.
Oh, okay.
Because Busta Rhymes.
Oh my god, Busta Rhymes is so funny. Like,
he fucking jumping spin kicks
yeah.
the guy while making kung fu noises, and I was like, this is incredible. It was the only good part of the movie.
Honestly, if that movie, if they took out every other character and it was just Michael versus Busta Rhymes for the whole hour and a half runtime, I would have been here for it.
I think it's just because that movie has something where I was like, this is incredible. Where the other two, where five and six, just have nothing.
Yeah, that's valid.
Where I was like, at least I had a moment, a fleeting moments of enjoyment whenever Busta Rhymes was Busta Rhymesing all over the place. When he was just telling off Michael, he was like, I'm fucking Michael Myers. You get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, yeah, Busta Rhymes, you do you, man.
You tell him.
At least there was some fleeting moments of enjoyment.
Yeah, slivers of enjoyment.
Where, yeah, just five and six, terrible. Season of the Witch just makes me want to shoot myself anytime that goddamn theme comes on, which is all the time.
I was going to say, they play that like nonstop.
I actually, while watching it, did timestamps.
Oh, how when they did it?
Yep. And there's a period of time where they play it four times in less than 5 minutes.
Stop. That's awful.
They play it three times in less than two.
Yikes.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. They play it 15 times.
Within the course of the movie.
Within the course of the movie.
Oh my god.
Hold on here. So you can enjoy the...
Okay.
But yeah, it's... I fucking hate
it. I literally just listened to this fucking jingle.
Yeah, it is terrible. Season of the Witch is I get the idea that
please
like
be the last one.
That like it was trying to be an anthology, which they kind of hinted at with Halloween 2, because there's the kid that bites into the apple with the razor blade. But like, either a better story, or you made Michael Myers be number one, and you couldn't leave that one. So. Especially once you had to make a sequel, I think you're locked in at that point. You have to keep making Michael Myers stories. But I now can say pretty definitively that I do agree with what Kieran was saying, which I think I brought up last episode, which was that Friday the 13th is always on the same basic level of bad. There's like little dips and little heights. But, like, right. It is equally about all terrible.
I think the difference is Friday the 13th of the three is the only one not trying to tell any kind of story.
Yeah. Whereas Halloween, I think as a whole, franchise-wise, is worse than Friday. Because there are so many just fucking terrible movies. Whereas,
I guess maybe it's worse because the good movies are
great,
really good.
Yeah, yeah. Like it has the second best highs.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because I think Nightmare One is the best of the starting movies. Nightmare, Halloween, Friday.
I think I would agree with that.
Nightmares.
Even though I do really like the vibe of the first Halloween. Like, yeah. Like of the original.
Right. But the visuals.
Yeah, I would say. But the visuals, and I love the like synth soundtrack that they have going on in Nightmare.
And like,
and this
and
is
the
like,
kills are insane.
Yeah, and like Freddy has a lot less dialogue, but it works.
Yeah.
Because like you're saying, like the kills are really creative in this one.
And again, nothing will beat that fucking shot of the wall.
Yeah.
Like reaching out.
Oh
like,
boy.
Oh.
Can't wait for you to watch the remake.
Yeah. Well,
where they just
do it worse. Is it CGI?
It sure is. Like, it what's weird though.
It's so easy to do that trick. It's just a linoleum. The fucking screen.
Yeah. No, it's actually bonkers to me that I'm like, why would you make this remake? Because it's basically just the first movie all over again, but like worse. Zero charm.
Where like
everything is so sanitized in this movie. Everything
right.
looks too clean, looks too modern, if that makes sense. And like,
also those are my Halloween rankings.
And I guess for me, like
Friday,
because the cast. I think I said this last time too. The cast in the rebooted Nightmare movie was all these like up and coming young actors in Hollywood who were supposed to get like super popular and super famous.
Right.
But because when that movie came out, like I knew who all these people were, like I couldn't take them seriously in these roles. Cause I was like, oh, it's Juliet from Gossip Girl.
Oh.
You know?
Right.
Or I was like,
it wasn't starting career Johnny Depp where correct. It's his first movie.
Correct. It wasn't like that. And like seeing Kellan Lutz in this movie, I was like, oh, it's Emmett from Twilight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or Lawrence Fishburne in his first movie. Yeah. In Nightmare 4? 3? 3. Dream Warriors.
Yeah, 3. Let's see. So we have number one, Jason X.
Jason X was so fucking stupid. Loved it.
Oh, I actually just this is the remake, the 2009 yeah, the remake? Remake. Yeah, yeah, it was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I was really, spoilers, I was really bummed when Daniel Pennebaker character died at the end.
Yeah.
I was like, no, you were there the whole time.
You were doing so good.
Oh, felt so bad. She was the only good one.
Yeah.
Sister could have died. Fuck her.
Then we have Jason Goes to Hell.
Which I hear is a extremely boiling hot take. And my reasoning for Jason Goes to Hell being 3 is because at least it was different. It's not a good Friday movie. It is a terrible Friday movie, actually. Because it shits on all the lore. It adds a bunch of stuff that's stupid and unnecessary. But it's at least different. And after watching the same formula about 7 times before that,
this is a breath of fresh
air? Yeah, it was a breath of fresh air, even if the fucking goddamn air was still, like, shitty.
Yeah.
Like, at least it was different.
Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah.
Friday the 13th, final chapter. What does this say? Friday the 13th. What is it? Oh, 7 New Blood, I think. Sorry, it's really tiny.
If you hover over it, it'll...
Oh, magic. Yeah, so magic. Friday the 13th, 7 New Blood. Which I don't know that I've actually ever seen that one. Now that I'm thinking about it,
if I remember correctly,
because this movie poster is not striking like any memories.
If I remember correctly, New Blood is the one that has the fucking telepath in it. I think
could be OG Friday the 13th. Then we have Friday the 13th 4, Jason Lives, Part 2. Jason Takes Manhattan.
Fuck that movie.
New Beginning, and then Part 3.
They are also, I think we talked about it in the last episode, he is in Manhattan for like barely any of that movie.
3 whole seconds. 3 whole seconds he's in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Were they just like, we have absolutely no budget, so let's just like film
that was it, actually, yeah.
One scene on the streets of New York?
It was all written actually to basically completely take place in Manhattan, and it just doesn't, because the studio was like, we're not paying for that.
The studio was like, we'll give you $5.
Yeah, because it was supposed to go to like
a bunch of locations. Shooting in New York is like expensive,
yeah,
right?
They were supposed to do like a bunch of locations, and they were like, no.
Road trip!
Yeah. But yeah.
They should have done that. Freddy's Road Trip.
Freddy's?
Yeah, Freddy's.
Jason's?
Jason's Road Trip. I did that last time, too.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I would also say that I think Freddy is the best personality or best character out of the 3 of them, too.
Well, he's the only one that gets to, like, talk.
I mean, yes, which obviously, but, like, I don't know. I feel like it just, like...
How can you be like, he has the best personality? Jason is a zombie.
All right, I'll rephrase. Best screen presence.
Okay, again, I don't think that's like...
No, because that doesn't have to be talking.
No, I think you're right. Because, yes, Michael Myers does have a lot of screen presence.
Yeah.
But I think, like, to get that screen presence right, I think is harder for a character that doesn't talk than a character that does talk.
Yeah.
Like, Freddy has a lot more wiggle room because Robert Englund is so, like...
Fantastic.
Has so much charisma.
Right.
Right? Whereas, like... So, he can make Freddy very charismatic and very, like, quirky and fun.
Yeah.
And you want to root for him.
Right.
But a character that never talks, except... I guess if you're considering some things within the Halloween franchise, but you know what I mean, right? it's much harder.
Yeah.
Like, that, I think, is more set by vibes. And Jason is obviously last in that list because Mans is barely a person.
Yeah, he barely even has screen presence in his own movies.
Yeah, like, he's not really meant to, I don't think.
No, he just exists.
He's like, the whole Friday franchise is just there to see people get slashed up.
Which, again, doesn't even give them very good kills a lot of times.
I know.
A lot of the kills in Friday are boring.
Which is weird, because I feel like with Jason, who is a zombie and is more supernatural than Michael, like, you have a lot more wiggle room to do more crazy stuff.
Yeah, because, like, I feel like you could also just have him be way more injured and, like...
Like, I should see Jason, like, ripping people in half.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, Michael, at this point, can also do that. He also has, like, inhuman strength.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying at least... In lore, yeah. Jason has more reason to be more beefed up than Michael.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I just, like, I don't know. Jason's absolutely the most boring. Michael, at least, like, sometimes that bitch be intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just have Freddy, who's charismatic, so you got that.
Yeah.
But also, his sequels are odd.
It's,
but they're all at least, like, visually interesting. They have a lot of great practical effects.
I was going to say, I think that's the one thing, like, I feel like especially Nightmare on Elm Street, they never, even in the sequels, they never fall for, like, the trends of, like, oh, we can do CGI elements. They do a little bit where...
I think it helps that, you know, they mostly take place in the 80s.
I mean,
they were all made in the 80s.
Right. Which, yes, that does help. But I also think, like, with how they choose to, because it's weird, like, even in the remake where they had the choices to do practical effects like they did in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
and they chose not to, and everything looks worse for it, you know.
Yeah, but that's a Hollywood move.
I know. It's really annoying.
Yeah, but like
I feel like the difference is also, like, the 2009 Friday remake, you still get a very similar essence and vibe.
Honestly, it has the 2009 one has some great kills.
Right, but I'm saying, let's say in terms of just, like, the vibe and the filmmaking,
yeah.
Feels similar
to
the other Friday movies.
Yeah.
Whereas Nightmare, the 2009, 2010, I can't really remember right now, remake, feels
10.
Completely different visually.
Right.
From the rest of the movies. Like, there's no transition. And Halloween has always been, like, a progress in image, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because they never were like, oh, let's keep it the same.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I ask you this all the time. Yeah. Have you seen Supernatural or no?
No.
Like, that, not at all?
Not at all.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of, like, things about Supernatural, because that was, like, one of the biggest fandoms on Tumblr.
Yeah, I think that's because I feel like every time I bring this up and I forget, and then yeah. I'm like, I'm surprised you haven't, because it just seems like it would have been right in your alley.
The reason why I've never watched Supernatural is because by the time that I was aware of Supernatural, they already had like 10 seasons under their belt.
Really?
Probably not, but that's what it felt like, okay? And I was like, I cannot be investing.
Like, when you were on Tumblr, I feel like it had to be like 4 seasons, maybe 6.
It felt like 10 to me, baby. Like, Supernatural has always felt like something that's existed.
You know what you should do instead of watching Riverdale? Watch Supernatural.
Bro, watching Riverdale is...
Watch Supernatural instead.
But here's the thing. I can watch Riverdale without paying attention at all, and I can get all the information I need.
I feel like you could also get away with that especially early games Supernatural, because it is literally Monster of the Week.
I guess that's fair.
Until it isn't.
You know what's crazy, though, about Riverdale is season one, which I had watched previously, this is now my third attempt to watch Riverdale.
Season one's at least fun.
Like, I think I have a really, really high threshold for garbage.
I would agree.
Where, like, I know the garbage only lasts so long and I can just power through it.
Right.
So I can be, like I always say, an educated hater.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit, this is testing my patience. This is the furthest I've ever gotten in to Riverdale. This is my third attempt to watch the series.
Mm-hmm.
I watched because I was like, you know what? I'm working on my costume and I know I'm just going to be sitting here for hours.
Which, real quick, what made you choose Pyramid Head. Like, you don't play Silent Hill.
I don't, but I've always loved his design.
Okay.
Like, he just looks great.
When you posted it, Anthony was like, that's awesome. I was like, yeah, I'm surprised. I'm curious where she got the Pyramid Head. She was like, what? She could play it. And I was like, Sage playing a video game?
Yeah, let's be so far.
I was like, let's, yeah, I was like, let's be real. She was like, what? She could? And I was like, no, she couldn't.
Sage plays two video games.
Yeah. I was like, no, it's absolutely not because she's played the game before.
No, I've always loved his design. Like, it's been one of my, it's one of my like favorite, like character models. Like, it's just so striking and I've always really liked it. So I was like, yeah, fuck it. Let's do it. Right. But yeah, back to Riverdale. So while I was working on my costume, I was like, oh, I need something because I like to have background noise. And I was like, you know what? This is going to take me quite a few hours.
Sure did. You canceled twice.
I sure did. But you know what? I got it done. So, yeah. So I was like, what should I have as background noise? I was like, you know what? Let's do Riverdale. This is the perfect opportunity because I don't even have to pay attention. Right? Like, I can just listen.
Yeah.
It's fine. Even listening is hard. And I think the thing that annoys me the most is if they took this concept, right, where it's like Archie Comics, but like a dark murder mystery, which like season one is, and it's only 13 episodes.
And it's good. And from what I remember.
Even within the 13 episodes, they managed to meander from the main plot for so long. I'm like, oh my God. They spend, I shit you not, out of the 13 episodes, I'm pretty sure only 5 of them are like completely focused on the main story.
Because I remember watching it when it was coming out. And it was with a girl that I liked at the time. So I think that also probably helped my...
So 13 episodes, I think, is the best season. It still has a lot of the signature Riverdale... like bad things.
Yeah.
Terrible dialogue. Like extremely cringy.
I would say it just has what the fuck's the word you just said?
Cringy?
No.
Dialogue?
Nope.
Terrible?
Nope. you said it still has all the blank Riverdale things.
Bad aspects?
Sure.
Let's go. Bad qualities?
Yeah, that's just faults? That's just a CW thing.
Oh, no. Because I think, yes, CW is known for putting out garbage.
I was like, because it's cringy dialogue all the time.
But even for CW standards, like, this is unbearably cringy. All
right.
Like, this is like listening to 12-year-olds have a conversation cringy. And I would know, I was 12 once, and I was made of cringe. Like,
look at you being self-aware.
Bro, I went to school in full Sailor Moon cosplay. I get it. I was fully cringe, okay?
Like on Halloween?
No.
I was really hoping you'd say yes.
I used to wear an I Heart Edward sparkly heart tote bag to school every single day in sixth grade.
You didn't watch Supernatural?
No, I did not. But anyway.
You would have been such a Sam or Dean girl. I don't know which one. Probably Dean.
Who's the one with like the shaggy hair?
Not the long hair?
I thought it was long. There's one guy who has like a spiky faux hawk.
Yeah.
So not him.
Okay. Then you would have been a Sam girl, I guess.
Who's the one with the tall one with the shaggy hair. Yeah. He's
cute. The one that's in the Friday remake.
Yeah. But anyway, season one, I think, is enjoyable. And like, I don't remember all the parents being such pieces of shit except for Fred, Archie's dad.
Yeah.
Like, Archie is the only one with a good parent.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually comical.
Well, yeah, that's like the whole bit.
And then season two just goes completely off the rails.
Which is funny because season one ends with him breaking his hand and saving
what's-her-face. No, season one ends with Archie's dad getting shot in like the diner.
Oh, I don't remember. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I thought it was with him punching
the guy. That's close to the end, but no, it technically ends after that happens.
Okay.
But anyway, because Cheryl tries to kill herself, whatever, who cares? Cheryl, I don't even...
Fucking hating Cheryl.
Some of these characters, I don't even know how they're still on the show, because they have literally... Even Archie, after season one, even in season one, Archie has nothing to do with the main plot of any story.
Doesn't
in
it any mostly season. Become a Jughead Betty thing?
Like, Jughead and Betty are posed as, like, the investigators of the group. Which, can I also say, if this was set where they were, like, at least college-age students, I could forgive a lot more. But because they made them 15-year-olds in the first season, and they're 15 in season two, I cannot take a single thing they do seriously. Because I'm like, you're really...
He's supposed to be 15.
He's supposed to be 15 in season one. Everyone is 15 in season one. And I'm like...
Don't remember that.
Like, be so fucking for real right now. Because in season two alone, Archie gets... Is this season two or season one? At some point, he goes to prison. And then he's part of... Oh, I think this is in season three. He's in prison, and then he's, like, part of an underground illegal boxing ring.
At 15.
While in prison. I think he's 16 at this point.
Oh.
So
you know
much
it's
better.
Okay there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he escapes from prison, and then he's on the run from the law, because he escaped from prison. And then he's living in some, like, lonely-ass cabin in the woods for months on end. Sure. I don't know. And then he gets attacked by a bear, and then he just shows back up in Riverdale.
Okay.
No, like, when I tell you shit goes off the rails, it really does. Because then we're, like, in season two, we're immediately introduced into, like, this whole Black Hood shenanigans.
Off-brand Jason.
And but what's happening, it, like, season two is double length. I think it's 22 or 23 episodes. It did not need to be this long.
Do you feel like they, like, bought into Jughead and Betty because of the chemistry that the people had because they were actually dating?
I don't know, because I don't think they were dating before the show started filming.
No, but they definitely were by the end of season one.
Yeah. But, like, I don't
and
know.
And people loved Jughead and Betty.
People do love Jughead and Betty. I mean, I do remember people being mad, being like, Jughead is canonically asexual, so, like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
but
most
no,
people probably didn't watch Archie or read Archie.
Right, right. But I think it was more of a thing of, like, it is a teen drama, and the number of relationships that Archie alone has in three seasons of television is absurd. He is in a relationship or has, like, a romantic kissing scene with, I swear to you, every single female character that's not someone's mother.
So he's not into MILFs.
Like, he does get with Miss Grundy, his teacher, in season one.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And then it's so wild, too, because they go to confront Fred and Alice, Betty's mom, they go to confront them being like, yeah, lady, like, we're getting you fired. We're arresting you. Like, we're taking you to jail because you're sleeping with a 15-year-old. Like, that's unacceptable behavior. And Archie somehow talks them down into not arresting her. And she's like, oh, I'll just leave town.
Yeah.
And they're all like, okay, that seems like a good solution. She can just leave town. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, Sage, don't you know that if you prey on a child once, you won't do it ever again?
Absolutely not. Like,
I hated that joke.
It's just like, who wrote this and was like, this is a good way to conclude this story?
Because people find it less weird when it's a guy with a female teacher than when it's a male teacher and a...
I know, but that's not a good example to set.
No, but that's definitely why.
Like,
people are like, yeah, that's because as a guy and as being a guy that was around that age, you'd absolutely be like, yo, you slept with... Nice! Like, it would be like a whole different thing.
No,
which is stupid because it's still the same thing.
I absolutely understand the thought process, but, like, that power dynamic and power imbalance.
I agree.
There's a reason why it's not okay.
I agree, but it's like people continually write stuff like that.
I know,
like, yeah.
But I'm like, it's 2024, or at least when this came out, which was what, maybe like 2015. Like, do we not...
17.
Did we not learn enough? Were we not aware of these things by 2017?
That no, I think we're still glorifying it? People still write like that today.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, it seems a little irresponsible, especially after the whole Pretty Little Liars fiasco. Oh, you don't know? Okay, so in Pretty Little Liars, Aria, who's one of the main four girls, in the pilot of the show, hooks up with this guy.
Okay.
And then, like, literally 5 minutes later in the showtime, we find out it's her teacher. And the end of the show is them getting married.
Hmm.
And it's like, oh, you're really going to end it like this? You're just going to be like, yeah, it was totally acceptable for them to be together when she was underage and his student, and they should totally be getting married now that she's an adult. He totes my goats did not groom her.
So they're saying it's okay.
Oh, they were like whole ass marriage. And then in a spin-off show, they say that they had a kid together.
Hmm.
Or adopted a kid. I don't remember. But like, why is this what we're pushing? For our viewers who are 12-year-old girls.
Because, Sage, the answer here is that it's okay.
But anyway, so yeah, so season one...
That's wild.
It is wild. It's fairly wrapped up. Miss Grundy, nobody cares about her, whatever, she's gone. She actually gets killed right away in season two. Yeah, season one, one death. Jason's death, right? That's the whole thing. Who murdered Jason? What happened to him? That's the whole point of season one. In season two, I swear to you, half the town gets murdered. Okay. I'm like, I would just simply leave based on the rate of murders that are going on now.
No, it's a Gotham thing. Rent's really cheap.
Rent's really cheap. But yeah, so like...
you stay in Gotham because, boy, it's affordable. You might die, but if you don't...
In season two and three, like, things just get so out of hand so quickly. And then we have this whole thing with the Black Hood who's going around killing people. And then, weirdly enough, though, like, halfway through the season, they cut away from that and start a completely different storyline. And then, like, five episodes into that new storyline, I was like, wait, what happened with the Black Hood? Like, are we just not going to address that? Like, are we just going to leave this on, like, as a loose end? Because that feels unsatisfying. And then they randomly just drop him back into the show. I was like, wait, where the fuck did you go for so long?
Awesome.
And then we find out it's Betty's dad.
Oh. Okay.
Which is actually so comical to me because after we find out it's Betty's dad, he turns into a completely different person.
Like in a good way or a bad way?
No, like...
Like that he becomes a good person or becomes a worse person?
No. So his character at the beginning and in throughout all of season one... And the majority of season two, he's just a dad. He's just there. Concerned. Right. Him and his wife are going through a divorce. It's a thing.
Right.
Right? Because they're not agreeing on what they should do with their children. Because uh-huh. Polly, the oldest daughter, is problematic and pregnant. Okay? Right. And okay. She has twins.
Okay.
And he does not agree with the life choices that she is making.
Right.
But nothing is... There's never any breadcrumbs, you know, where it's like, ooh, maybe he's shady. He's a possible suspect.
Uh-huh.
No. Nothing. Then we get the reveal that it's him, and then he completely changes his personality to be like, I've always been like this. He changes his tone of voice, everything. He's like, I only go after sinners, and you're blah blah blah.
Well, I mean, no. That's sociopath behavior.
But then it never, like, it's just so weird to me because he doesn't ever revert back to being a normal person.
Well, yeah, but like, he never was.
No, I agree that he probably never was, but I think I would have rather had the breadcrumbs to be like, show, like the way they do it seems like they pulled it out of their ass. Because nothing prior to that leads me to believe it's Hal Cooper in any way.
But like, okay, so not to defend Riverdale.
Right.
But isn't the whole point of sociopathic characters that you never know until they actually get found out? Like, have you seen Trap?
No. I mean, yes.
But, like, the whole point is that they turn it on, and then, like, when they're finally alone, they turn it off.
Right, but what's weird is then, like, in season three, Betty is visiting him in prison, And you would think he would turn it back on to, like, lure her back in.
I think that it would be a...
But then
the ruse is over. Why bother?
But it's weird because he doesn't turn it on and she's still lured back in.
Okay, well, that's just bad writing.
And I'm like, but like, okay.
But I think, realistically, it's... I think, at least, again, not to defend Riverdale.
I know.
That, like... In a writer's mind, it's like he's found out. Like, they know. Like, they, it's not like he it's not like Betty didn't see him drop the facade. So it's like, what's the point? You just, hey, this is how I've always been. I don't fucking care.
The way they do the reveal is in episode 20 of 22.
Okay.
That's when we get our first first breadcrumb that it could be Hal Cooper.
Gotcha.
In 21, we find out it's him. And then in season 3, they pull the exact same bullshit with the farm, which is the cult that's come into town.
Oh, yeah.
The whole season, 22 episodes. In episode 20, we get a breadcrumb about what the farm's true intentions are. And then in 21, we find out that they're harvesting organs. But I'm like, that's not how you write a reveal. You can't put the breadcrumbs the episode before.
Is Jughead the leader of the gang yet?
No.
No.
I don't know that he's ever the leader.
I thought he was. I thought he takes over the snakes.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant the gang, like the core four.
No.
The actual
gang.
Yes, he is the Serpent King, which I think happens in season 2. Which also, I just want you to know, it's really unconvincing watching Jughead be like the leader of this gang, because there's actual whole ass adults also part of the gang, which doesn't make sense to me. So you have 15 and 16 year olds in your gang, and then whole adults who have like rent and bills to pay, and you're listening to a 15 year old. Okay.
I mean, yeah, but that's like, it's not like there aren't things that work that way.
Once
you get the status.
I just can't take it seriously. And it's so funny, too, because the way Jughead joins this gang is, like, he goes back to living with his dad.
I was going to say, his dad was a member, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Or the leader.
But then the dad is in prison for, like, tampering with evidence and, like, unlawfully discarding of a corpse or whatever. So then Jughead, he's getting, like, integrated into the gang. And he spends 3 episodes being like, I'm not interested. Like, I really don't feel like that type of way about the gang. Like, I'm not trying to be my dad or like fill his shoes. And then like 1 episode later, he's like, no, this gang is my family. Like, we got to look out for each other. I'm like, where did this energy come from?
He watched a Fast and Furious movie.
The writing in this show is definitely the worst aspect of it because nothing makes sense. Like, there is no rhyme, like, there's no logic. I'm pretty sure after every single episode, they just shred whatever they wrote prior, and they're like, all right, next thing.
Can't refer back.
No. There is no, like, house of timeline cards.
There's no One Piece extra house.
No, there absolutely isn't, because I swear to you, these people forget what they wrote down after the next line. And there's characters who just, I don't know why they're in their show. There's so many characters in this show. And when I tell you maybe 5 out of 30 characters actually move the plot forward or are important to the plot in any way. It's crazy.
That sounds like a CW show thing, though.
Like, I don't know why Cheryl is in this show or her entire family.
Because she needs to get to the part where she has lesbian magic or whatever.
I don't know that we've gotten to the magic yet.
Yeah, we need to get to the part where she has magic because she's a lesbian.
I don't think she has magic because she's a lesbian.
That's what you said it to me as once.
No. She is a lesbian, and then she obtains magic.
At one time in a car when we were down at the shore house, you were like...
Maybe she does have lesbian magic. I just don't remember.
One time in the car, that is how you described it to me, is that she has magic and it like gets bolstered by lesbianness or something. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean, Sage?
Maybe. Although,
and you were like, that's what I said.
Although it is weird because like Tony, her girlfriend, we're introduced to her in the beginning of season 2. And at first it's this thing of like her and Jughead are going to become like BFFs within the gang. Uh-huh. And I'm like, okay. they're vibing off each other. Like, this could be a nice relationship for, like, you know, to happen. But then after that, like, mini plot with, like, her and Jughead getting close and becoming friends and trusting each other, Tony becomes a decoration. Like, she is...
His arm candy.
I'm not even kidding. Tony does nothing. Like, I don't know why they were like, oh, we started to write her in, but I guess they were either like, we have nothing else for her. But I'm like, why is she here? Because she's not providing a single thing.
They needed to actually have the representation.
And I'm like, yeah, it's nice that her and Cheryl are together and they enjoy being together, except half the time they don't even enjoy being together because they constantly butt heads and Cheryl is kind of a piece of shit. And Tony is constantly trying to, like, reel her in and be like, come back to Earth. Like, you gotta chill the fuck out, girl.
Well, I just remember Cheryl being a total bitch in the first season. Oh my god,
she does not get better. It's so... Cheryl, I'm pretty sure the writers flip a coin every single time they have to write either a Cheryl storyline or Cheryl dialogue. Because it's either they flip the coin, tails. Okay, Cheryl's just going to be a bitch. She's just going to be a hindrance to literally everybody. She's going to burn down her house. She's going to try and kill her mom in the hospital. Who cares? Whatever. And then if it lands head, she gets one of two if it lands heads. Traumatizing things will happen to her. And then she'll have to get rescued. And then she'll be nice. And it just works on this cycle. And I'm like...
Awesome.
I, like, in season two, we go through this whole thing where Cheryl's, like, discovering herself and realizing that she's attracted to women, right? She comes out as a lesbian, and then her parents immediately ship her off to, like, gay conversion therapy. And she gets traumatized there, comes, gets rescued, and then she acts like it never even happened. She's like, oh, I'm good. I'm like, that's not how you write a character. That's not character development. Like, you can't do not these the things. Conversion. You can't do traumatizing things to people and then act like nothing happened. Like, in season three with the farm, they do surgery on Kevin. And then they act like that never happened.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, that's not how that works. You can't just do things to do them.
But have you thought about the fact that they can?
I mean, they did.
So clearly.
But it's really bad. And then there's, like, this whole thing in season three as well with griffins and gargoyles. Yeah.
We're guessing a D&D.
Yeah, so it's essentially like D&D, except everyone takes it way too seriously, and they keep being like, oh yeah, it's the game sucks you in. It makes you think all of it is real. And then, like, people are also playing it in conjunction with, like, doing drugs. So they're hallucinating.
Also,
while playing the game.
It should have been caves and chimeras.
I don't care what they would have made it. And one of the things in one of the episodes, because I guess, like, there was this card that was like, kill the red paladin, which is Archie. So some random ass little kid tries to kill Archie.
Like, actually Archie?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they find out that there's like 12 other cards with kill the red paladin on them. And Archie's like, well, I can't just sit around here and, like, wait for people to attack me unexpectedly. So they make an announcement to the town. If you have one of these cards, come to this boxing gym and Archie will fight you one by one.
And I guess that solves the problem.
And it's a whole montage of just Archie fighting random people one by one.
Does he win?
He does win. But I'm just like, what the fuck? Oh, and then Archie boxes Veronica's dad.
He had a card?
No. Oh, okay. They box for some other reason, okay. For like honor or something.
Because he wants to date Veronica.
I don't fucking know, bro. They just box. Like, even though I'm like, that seems kind of unfair. Like, a 16-year-old who's like shorter and less built versus like a fully grown man.
Yeah, but he's a 16-year-old built like a 25-year-old.
But you know what I mean? Like, in terms of, in context of the show.
Yeah.
Like, aren't there weight classes for a reason?
That's not the point. I mean, he just beat up a bunch of kids, too.
I guess that's fair.
So.
But yeah, this show is just all over the place. And then Veronica has a speakeasy under the chocolate shop.
Okay.
And at first, she's like, we're doing everything legit. No alcohol, mocktails only, blah, blah, blah. But that, of course, does not last.
So it becomes an actual...
But bar? I don't understand how she's even allowed to serve alcohol because she's 16.
It's a speakeasy. It's not legal.
And how is she obtaining the supplies?
Her dad's rich.
He's not working. He's not being like, here you go.
She's rich.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, this is why I can't take the show seriously. If they had made everyone college age, I think I would be way more forgiving. But because they
then you wouldn't need a speakeasy because then you could just go buy alcohol.
I'm just saying. But then there's adults at the speakeasy.
Oh.
Like, I think in season three, we meet Jughead's mom, whose name I can't remember. Let's call her Patricia. And she's a real piece of shit.
I like that your go-to basic woman name is Patricia.
This is a pretty common name.
Of all names.
I don't know. Okay, anyway. So, or maybe her name is Patty or something like that. I don't know.
It's just always Patricia with you.
I feel like I've not used Patricia before.
No, you
Brenda,
definitely have.
I usually is a good go-to for me.
What the, Brenda? Where the fuck do you pick these names?
I love the name Brenda, but anyway.
God, thank God you won't have kids. Brenda's going to go fucking the way that George did.
Run away. But anyway, so yeah. So we meet Jughead's mom, Patricia, and the piece of shit little sister, Jellybean.
Right.
Which is in canon her name.
Is that actually her name?
I'm pretty sure.
That was a nickname.
I'm pretty sure it's her actual name. Because they never say anything else.
It's like his name's not actually Jughead.
Oh, it's something even stupider than Jughead.
I don't remember what it is.
Because FP, the dad, also has a stupid ass name. Because I think in season three as well, they have like this flashback episode where it's the parents when they were in high school. Mm-hmm. I actually really like the styling. It's very cute. Like the way, and this is what pisses me off too about Riverdale, is they show they can do things that are both creative, look good, and are written well. They just choose not to. That's what pisses me off. Because there's certain times where the creative aspect, I'm like, you know what? You guys put in a lot of effort and this looks great.
And
like,
yet it worked out for them because they didn't have to try all that hard and yet they got them a lot of money.
And it's just like, you guys could have been held up as such a great, like, iconic teen drama. And it's not like the bar is high because it's not like Gossip Girl is the world's greatest writing, but it's just fun and enthralling.
Right.
You know, like, there's a certain level of ridiculousness in which I am willing to accept.
Right.
And I but feel like once when you're you pass ridiculousness and go into absolute stupidity,
right,
then I'm not having fun anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm too busy thinking about how stupid it is.
Sage, you just got to turn your brain off better.
But anyway, so yeah, Patricia, the mom, comes in and she's trying to do like shady deals because she's also part of a gang, I think. And then she works out a deal with Veronica. But then Veronica also owes money to her father, and it's a whole thing. And I'm like, and then the serpents are like, oh, don't worry, Veronica, we got your back. We're gonna.
Gladys?
Gladys? I don't know. What is her name?
Gladys. Is that how you spell Gladys?
Let me see.
Is that how you spell Gladys?
I think so.
Huh. All right. Well, it's
Gladys Jones. Yeah, Gladys. That is her name.
Huh. I didn't realize that's how you spelled Gladys.
Yeah, actually, yeah, some people do it with a Y.
Villain wiki.
Yeah. She's not a very good villain, TBH. But, yeah, then this, oh, and Cheryl, because Cheryl does something to disrespect the serpents.
His name is Forsythe.
Oh, yes. FP.
Pendleton.
Yeah.
Forsythe Pendleton Jones III. What a name.
What a name. And he didn't get bullied?
Well, I think that's why he went by Jughead.
No, that's the dad, FP. The dad is Forsythe.
Well, yeah, but
Pendleton.
Yeah, but so is Jughead. He's the third.
Oh, I thought you were saying the dad is the third.
No,
sorry.
No, so you're saying how did he not get
bullied.
Bullied, and I'm saying that's why he went by Jughead.
I understand. Sorry, the dad is also Forsyth.
Also,
so that's
it is actually, her name is actually Jellybean.
I wasn't here to lie to you.
That, what a, God, that's a terrible.
Terrible names. Forsyth, terrible name. I'm sorry. If your name Forsyth and you're watching this, I'm sorry.
I don't know. You got Scythe in the name. That's kind of cool.
But it just makes me think of, like, Forsyth. Like, your name is a word.
Yeah, but there are worse names. Like, Bertha.
Okay, that's fair.
Dolores.
Oh, also, because it's Riverdale, they have this whole, like, thing where everything is, like, the 50s adjacent, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So all the names for all the characters.
She's part of the Serpents?
The mom?
No, the kid.
Oh, Jellybean, yeah.
As a mechanic?
Oh, yeah, because so before the mom and Jellybean come back to town, they're living in, like, Florida or something, or Virginia, I don't remember. And she has, like, a chop shop. And she runs, like, a chop shop gang in Florida or Virginia, wherever they are.
Sure.
And the daughter is a mechanic.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, so Cheryl and Tony do something to, like, disrespect the Serpents, and then Jughead kicks them out, and Tony is upset that she's no longer part of the gang, because she's like, oh, but it's in my, the gang is my family, familia. She didn't actually say that part, but you understand. And so instead, Cheryl, like, makes her a new gang, but it's all girls. And they're called the Pretty Poisons, this new girl gang. And Tony becomes the leader. And when I tell you, none of these people, because it's like at least 5 or 7 girls in this gang, not including Cheryl and Tony, none of these girls up until where I am now, which is the beginning of season 4, have a single line of dialogue.
Oh, man.
They literally do nothing. They are always in the background of a shot.
That's awesome.
It's so weird. I was like, why the fuck did you introduce this to do zip with it? Like, I'm pretty sure these girls don't even have actual names.
They're just NPCs.
Like, the credits are Pretty Poison 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Actually?
I don't know. Oh. But I'm pretty sure it must be, because they are just there. They are physically present and nothing else.
NPCs.
NPCs. Like, why are we introducing NPCs into the show? I don't understand.
Because why not, Sage? Because they're still getting money.
It's just...
They're just... Again, I think I said it in our chat, where our group chat, where I was like, I'm pretty sure that CW operates on, fuck it, let's find out what we can get away with.
Fuck it, we ball.
Yeah, let's find out what we can get away with. Every show just hits that point where they're like, let's see if they let us do it. And they do, every time.
And you know what? It's funny, though, because, like, other shows like Riverdale or in, like, the Archieverse, because I learned this was a thing. So there's another show called Katie Keene that only had 1 season.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Sabrina the Witch.
Oh, that is part of it, though.
I was going to say, because people love that show.
Well, so Katie Keene is part of the Archieverse. Hmm. And it came out, I don't remember when it came out, but it had 1 season and immediately got canceled.
I never even heard of it.
But maybe, I think what happened with Archie or Riverdale is season 1 was good. And so people were willing to be like, okay, a lot of people like season 1, let's do a season 2. Mm-hmm. And I think the people that like season 1, while they were watching season 2, were probably like, I'm sure we'll eventually get back to that it being good thing.
Uh-huh.
So they kept watching it, and then season 2 ends, and you're just like, oh, okay. And then they were like, a lot of people watch season 2. Let's do a season 3. And
did they do like 6-7
seasons?
Yeah, so clearly people kept watching it.
And apparently in the 7th season, they get like time heisted into another alternate reality where it's all them again, but they're back in high school.
Sure.
and it's the actual 1950s. Okay. And nobody knows what happened except for Jughead remembers that they existed in like the IRL timeline. And he's trying to explain to the group what happened, and they're all like, stop joshing me. And then Jughead loses his memories. So then apparently the whole season just plays out like a normal season of television, completely disconnected from the rest of Riverdale.
Okay, see, but that kind of sounds fun.
Which I'm like, what? And then apparently the finale episode is Betty Old, and she's like, I'm the last living member of our group in Riverdale, because I guess everybody else died. And she's like, has a granddaughter, and she's like, oh, take me back to Riverdale so I can like see it one more time before I go. And the whole episode is Jughead, who I think is supposed to be a ghost, or maybe she's just imagining him, I don't really know, but Jughead is basically walking old version of Betty and being like, here's what happened to every person. And when I tell you, everyone is like, oh, and they were so successful, and they died peacefully in their sleep. Except like one person, they're like, oh, he got a record deal and he was going to do a tour. But then 4 weeks into his tour, a tire popped and they all died.
And on that note,
which is just so funny to me, I'm like, wow, everyone gets a happy ending except for one random schmuck.
Hopefully it was Cheryl.
No, it was apparently a guy. Yeah. I have a feeling it was Kevin.
On that note, thanks for watching this week's episode of the Vaguely Anime Podcast. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, leave a review, like, follow. Check out Kat at Kat the Moonstar on Twitch. You have 1 week to watch Haikyuu. Find a way to watch it. And we will see you guys next week for our anime club.
Bye.
Bye.